You know what? Like every young pastor's wife, they have struggles and they don't know how to get it together. And our precious Jeanette came alongside her and became her mentor. And when I saw her walk in today, I'm like, you look like Jay. But anyway, so yes, Jay, Jeanette just walked alongside her. And now 9 years later, she sits here as a seasoned pastor's wife. She loves God and she loves his word. And she loves his women and his people. So let's welcome Bettina.
Oh, such a joy to be here with you all. Just setting my stuff up right here right now. So, hello, good evening. You're so beautiful. I love this church, and it just, when I walked in, it just, it reminded me of Jeanette, my sweet mentor, my sweet sister, my sweet friend. Our church would join in with you guys, with your church, for a few times for the retreats. So we came together when we were at Marietta. We went there and we fellowshiped together. But Jeanette, she was always available. Always available. I mean, the minute I said, I need to talk, she'd call me. And so that was Jeanette, and I'm sure you know. And I miss her and being able to do that, as I'm sure you do. So the last time that I saw Jeanette was when I walked in the doors. It was like probably right before COVID, actually. It was probably right because my husband taught here, and it was during Easter. And so we were sitting and we were worshiping together and we were learning about the Lord together. And so that is just a precious memory for me with her. And so, but I'm so happy to be here. So thank you, Vanessa, I was so happy to hear from her before. The title of this message is Blessed Are Those Who Dwell. Blessed Are Those Who Dwell. So I have just a little bit background. Yeah, it's okay. My husband remembers everything, but I forget. 28 years. We have 4 boys. One's in the Navy. And then one is still at home with us. He's 21 years old. He's not married. And I get to watch her every Monday, and it's such a joy. I love, who's a grandma here? Who has grandchildren? Yeah, they're so fun, aren't they? They're the funnest. So, but I adore being a grandma. And so I try to balance that with everything else that we have on our plates. But it's fun. So tonight, as I said, I want to share with you from Psalm 84, and I believe it speaks to the heart of what many of us feel after a long, exhausting week, maybe month, maybe day, I don't know, a year. But there's something so comforting about being surrounded. Psalm 84 here captures that heart, the longing to be close to God, to be where he is, to be refreshed by him, and the blessings that come from walking with him. You know, but there was a time that I remember that I didn't feel that way. Going to church on Sundays, I would go, but I didn't have that desire. There was not that desire in me. It was pretty much a checkoff for me. I grew up Catholic, and there were a lot of rituals, things I didn't understand, but I just did them just because I was supposed to be doing them. But I was never taught how to have that relationship with the Lord. And this psalm, it took me back to when I was first invited to church by a cousin of mine. I was in the middle of this really everything else, everywhere else in the world. And I remember telling my cousin, because he knew with us, and I was like, you go every weekend? Both on Saturday and on Sunday, husband and I, we went. And you know what? We never looked back. We never looked back, thank God. That day, the Lord began to draw my heart to his. And so I tasted, as you had prayed earlier, I thought that was interesting, but I tasted and I saw that he was good. He was good, and I wanted more. I wanted more. And he was a fulfillment. He was my fulfillment. He was the peace that I needed. And so I was just thinking about, has anybody tried that Dubai or Dubai chocolate? Has anybody heard of that? Oh, you, okay, I have one over there. Okay, so this is like a big thing right now, right? It's this chocolate. The feeling is like this sweet cream, and it's made from pistachio mix and tahini. So, but there's other ingredients and everything in it. But it was created by a woman named Sarah, and she was 20, in 2021, who inspired her pregnancy cravings. I thought that was kind of interesting, but it's so addictive. And I thought when I took a bite of that, I wanted more and more and more. And so unlike that, though, chocolate, unlike the chocolate, which satisfies our souls and keeps drawing us back with something far sweeter. Amen? His presence, his peace, and his promises. And once you've truly tasted of him, there's no going back, because there's nothing else. He said that Psalm 84 was entitled to be called the Pearl of Psalms. If the 23rd be the most popular, the 103rd be the most joyful, the 119th the most deeply experiential, the 51st, the most plaintive, this is the most sweet, the Psalm of Peace. So let's take a moment to read it together and just let these beautiful words sink into our hearts here. All right, so Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow, my king and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word that refreshes our soul, Lord, that lifts our head, Father God, that comforts our hearts. Father, I pray that tonight that you would speak to each woman here, Lord, that you would make our hearts pliable to receive what you have for us, Lord. We do not want to walk away from here the same. We want to walk away from here being transformed by your beautiful word, Lord. And so, Father God, I pray right now that I would decrease and that you, Lord, would increase. Father, speak to us now. Would you please, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so the first point I have here is longing for God's presence, which is verses 1 through 4. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. So a little background of this psalm, because there's something powerful and beautiful in just who wrote this psalm. The psalm was attributed to the sons of Korah, and they led a rebellion of 250 community leaders against Moses in Numbers 16 during the wilderness days of Exodus. It was a prideful dangerous uprising against God's appointed leadership. And God, he judged it severely. So Korah and his followers died. But here's what's amazing. Numbers 26:11 says, "But the sons of Korah did not die. God spared Korah's descendants." And generations later, we see them serving as faithful worship leaders in the temple. Isn't that amazing? So the very men who wrote Psalm 84, this heartful cry to dwell in God's presence, came from a line that was marked by rebellion. And yet their lives became a legacy of worship and reverence. And sisters, I don't know what your family background is, and it looks like, you know, what it looks like. Maybe it's messy. Maybe your past is marked with brokenness, a rebellion, a regret, as mine has been. But God is a God who redeems. Amen? He redeems. And so the sons of Korah remind us that whatever our past is, it doesn't have to define your future. Let's recognize that Satan wants to analyze you by your past, by continuing to throw darts at you. You can be the one, though, as they were, who become women who seek after the presence of God and brings him honor and glory. And your life can certainly teach others to do just that. That's what we want with our lives. We want to fulfill God's purpose. And we want to bring him honor. And isn't that such a beautiful reminder that the sons of Korah, they didn't let their the most powerful worship found in the scriptures. Isn't that amazing? And so what do we hear here? What do we see here in their songs? What do we hear in the songs? It's a deep aching, longing to be near God. And that's exactly what we see here in Psalm 84. David Guzik said this, "The affection is clear that this psalmist loved the house of God, whether it was in a tent or whether it was in a permanent building. The house of God was dear and it was desired because it was where he meets God." He meets with God. His house is where we meet him. And everything within the psalmist, his heart and his flesh, longed for God. And it speaks to all who come to the house of the Lord today that we must come to the house, that we must come here to the house of the Lord with a primary focus of meeting with the Lord. It's fun to see our, you know, our sisters and the brethren, but our primary focus should be meeting with the Lord, should be to come to hear from him. We want to hear from him. So we long for so many things in life, some small, some deeply personal. We long for rest when we're exhausted. We long for clarity when we're confused, right? We long for our broken hearts to be comforted. We long for that. But the psalmist, his longing here is different. It's not for a situation to change here. It's for God. His whole being is crying out to be in God's presence. Why? Because nothing else will satisfy perfectly. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. And I pray that that is our prayer, each one of our hearts. The house of God was dear and desired. Again, not because it was a beautiful stay. Well, we know that God's Spirit dwells in us as believers. We know that. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Well, our focus is to meet with him, not just to check a box like I did or to go through the motions. Just like the psalmist here, we're invited to come with that same hunger. Psalm 42, 1 through 2, one of my favorite verses, it says, "As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you. God, My soul thirsts for God. Cute, you know, it's a cute little deer panting for the water. But what it really is, it's a picture of a deer that is desperate, that's desperate for that water. And so that's what we should be, desperate for the living water. There's something powerful about gathering together, ladies. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another," encourage each other, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And we know that it's drawing near. There's a bunch of crazy stuff. If you just turn on the TV, we know that. You probably hear from your pastor talking about that. You know, like it's everywhere. It's crazy. And so we know that his time, he's going to be coming for us soon. So we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. But that kind of deep hunger to be near God continues in the next verse 3. And it's actually one of the most tender images of this psalm, I believe. Verse 3, it says, "The sparrow and the swallow." So even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself. So something I think is important for us to take note of here on how the psalmist refers to the Lord. He says, "Lord of hosts." And that really stood out to me. You can read the Bible and then you can read it several times, but then, well, that's why they call it the living, it's a living Bible, right? But when you read through it, something always sticks out to you that you've probably read. The Lord host refers to angelic armies, heavenly beings under God's command. So the psalmist is addressing God as the almighty commander. He's our almighty commander, the one with all authority, the one with all power, and all control over both the spiritual and the physical realms. And it's a reminder that we're not seeking shelter in a weak or distant God, okay? Our God is not weak, amen? But in the all-powerful Lord who fights for his people. He fights for his people and welcomes them into his courts. That is who we should, when we come into his presence to pray to him, we should be thinking about that. We should know his character, recognize his character, and that's who we should remember when we're praying, you know, praying. We're praying to a God who has all authority. He's all powerful. He is not weak. Remember that. That's who we're praying for. That is our God. And so verse 3, even the birds are welcome near the altar. And it's poetic, but it shows the accessibility of God's presence to the lowly. And this verse paints such a gentle picture. Tiny birds, often overlooked, are welcomed into the very presence of God. The sparrow finds a home. The swallow finds a safe place to build her nest and raise her young right near God's altar. And it reminds me, I'm going to tell you a little story here. So I watch my granddaughter on Mondays, and she's 1 year old. So I take her on a stroll. And I was walking by this house, and this lady was very panicked outside. And it was because there was a crow that was on the ground. And the crow was not moving. It just stood still. It looked like it was dying. And so the lady proceeds to tell me, she was frantic, and she was like, I need to get help. I don't know what to do with, he's going to die. And the one thing that she said I'm just tenderhearted towards is babies, old people, and animals. And she said, and she was literally crying. And so, and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I need to help her. So my son lives at March Air Force Base. There's housing there, and it's so beautiful there and so very peaceful. So we were looking for the groundsman and found the groundsman, and the groundsman came and looked, and he's like, yeah, he's probably going to die. We'll call to see if we can come and have somebody come and get him and try to help him. Well, my husband loves animals. Everybody will call him, hey, that over. And so we've had ducks in our backyard. I didn't even know we had ducks in our backyard until my son said, you know, can I go play with my duck? And I'm like, what duck? We don't have ducks. Yeah, we had ducks in our backyard. I was like, take them back now. He came and he got the crow. And we've been nursing it. I know we're not supposed to have the crow, so we're not keeping it. So that's against the law. But we're not keeping the crow. We just didn't want an animal to eat the crow or to, like, you know, destroy the crow. But this crow was in need. It was in need. And so my husband went and he bought the food and he's been nursing it. Now, actually, yesterday was the first day it started to fly. So it's starting to fly. It's starting to get its strength and its wings. And so now we're going to let it go. And now I'm, you know, I feel like we named it Gilly because that's where my son lives, on Gilly Street. So that's his name, Gilly. But it's so cute. But anyways, but we didn't turn it away. We nurtured it and we gave it a safe place to rest and to heal. And it makes me think, if we have that tender heart towards something like this, an animal, you know, then how much more does our Heavenly Father do that for us when we're not able to move, when we're paralyzed, when we're frightened? And remember that, He never slumbers. So whether you feel like a fragile sparrow, who is a picture of a small significance, or the swallow, who's a picture of restlessness, or even a misunderstood creature like the crow, He draws you close into His presence. He doesn't allow you, just allow you near. He welcomes you to make you feel our safe place, right? He's our safe place. He wants to bring you in to have a place to grow, a place to rest. And I love what our dearly missed Kay Smith said. She said this: Jesus is the one who tends to our wounds, calms our fears, and strengthens our hearts when we sit at His feet. When we sit at His feet, He will do that for us. So verse 4, it says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. It's an ongoing dwelling, not just visiting on Sundays. It's an ongoing dwelling constantly. So the first blessing is for those who long to dwell with God, but it's not just about being in His house. It's about having hearts that are lifting praise. The verse says, ever singing your praise. And that's an ongoing worship, even when the days are hard, even in those times. And so I heard a pastor recently talk about our complaints instead of worship. And even strangers in line at the grocery store. If you notice, if you really think about it, you know, we'll be in the line at the grocery store. Rachel works at the groceries, but in line at the grocery store, and we'll start saying, oh, it's just so hot outside. Oh, the prices are so high. The gas prices, the line is taking so long. And so I just want to challenge you. Let's turn those conversations. See how maybe that person's demeanor changes, you know, when you hear somebody start complaining, you know, or start telling you, and it could be a little thing, but start turning those around. So I think that if we start praising the Lord more, I think one of the songs that she sung was talking about that. You start praising the Lord, it's going to change your heart. It's going to start changing our hearts, right? Yeah. So I'll challenge you to do that. So what about those who are walking through hard seasons? When it feels like God is far from us, what about that? And this psalm speaks to that too. Strength in the valley, verses 5 through 8. Now whose hearts are the highways to Zion. So those who find strength in God doesn't rely on self or the world for strength, but these are pilgrims, people whose hearts are set on God, even if the road is hard. Place. They go through it, but they don't stay in it and make it a place of springs. Papa Chuck Smith said this: the Christian life is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of the Lord in trouble. And trials deepen our walk, and make us more fruitful. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So maybe you're in the valley of Baca right now. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your grown kids. Could be grown kids, because I think that quiet ache. You may have a quiet ache right now for something that you cannot even express. Psalm 84 tells us you don't have to camp there. You don't have to stay there. Remember this. The psalmist described himself as a pilgrim. We're all pilgrims here. We're travelers. We're passing through. And as you do, God is going to provide the strength for every step. You keep going. You do it. So our true treasure, though, is in the world to come. I love what David Guzik said again. This heart of the pilgrim is displayed by his love for the house of God. There, he meets with God along with the other pilgrims. There, they gain strength in God together as they meet. So each one of us can lift each other. We can lift the sister that you're sitting right next to. You can lift them up. You can give them some of your strength. It's the Lord's strength, obviously, you know, but you can be their strength. Sometimes they feel weak. You come alongside them, remind them of who the Lord is, you know, and be a pillar for them. And that's what we're to be. So that's why we gain strength when we're for someone else in their valley. God gives strength from strength to strength, is what verse 7 says. So not all at once, but as needed. And the pilgrim walks in God's strength and is continually renewed. A deep relationship with him gives us an unending source of strength, even through the most difficult seasons of our walk. So we're blessed when we dwell with God, evermore praising him, and we're blessed when we walk through the valleys, trusting him. But there's one more blessing the psalm ends with. Shifts the focus upward to the Lord himself. It's like the psalmist, after longing for God's presence and walking through valleys, lifts his eyes in worship and in surrender. We see that through the psalms. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor of hosts. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. So here's the heart of it. The psalmist trusts that God's presence is better than any other place. And God's character is enough because it does not change. It doesn't change. The same. He remains the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He says he'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than have comfort or status somewhere else. And that's huge. That means even if I'm not in the spotlight, even if I'm standing at the back holding the door open, if you're there, Lord, that's trust. It's choosing presence over any position, worship over comfort, God's ways over our own ways. And then comes this beautiful truth in verse 11. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And that doesn't mean that we get everything that we want. It means that we can trust that God only withholds what he knows isn't good for us. He'll withhold those things. It's his mercy. That's what it is. So he knows what would harm us, and he always gives what will grow us. That's what he does. He's going to give you what's going to grow you. And so even in the waiting, even in the loss, even in the not yet, and that's sometimes hard for us, I know, but we have to remember, okay, Lord, I know, and I've learned to do this. I know, Lord, there's something here for me to learn. And it just makes it so much easier knowing that he has authority over the spiritual realm and the physical realm, over everything that you're going through right now. He is in control. And so the last verse ties it all together. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So trusting God doesn't mean that we have it all figured out. It means that we've decided and that we know that he does. Amen? He does. And I have to preach to myself all the time. And so that's what we do, because David did, right? David would say why, and he would counsel himself by God's word. And we need to do that. So maybe you're in a season where God's felt far away, or you've prayed, you've waited, and it seems like nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The weight of uncertainty can make even the most faithful hearts feel worn down. But this part of Psalm 84 is for you. It reminds us that even when the road is long or that valley is deep, and it's not going to, his character hasn't changed. Remember that. It says God is your shield. He's protecting what you can't see. He's protecting that, guarding your heart in ways that you may never realize on this side of heaven. We may never know, but he is protecting. He's our guard. God is your sun. He's not only guiding you, but bringing you warmth and light to places in your life that feel cold or dim. His timing is perfect, even when it feels like it's too slow for us. And at times, we can feel that way. You know, like we can say, okay, God, you should be doing it at this time. This is when it should happen, God. And that just sounds so silly for us to say that, huh, to our Lord. And he's not holding back on you. We need to remember that. He's preparing exactly what we need. It may feel like he's silent, but he's refining us in this time. Arranging. He arranges details and preparing you for something. She was just sharing something with us in the back that she didn't even know. She was being prepared for something. And so that's our God. That's our Lord. Psalm 84:11. No good things does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So that's not a promise that we'll get everything, as I said, that we ask for. It's a promise that God knows what's truly good. And so he's not going to keep it from you. He won't. So today you can say with the psalmist, Lord, I trust you, even if I don't understand. Even if I'm in the valley of Baca, I trust that you are good and that being with you is the greatest blessing of all. It's the greatest blessing of all. So sisters, Psalm 84, it invites us to be women who long for the presence of God, who walk through the valleys leaning on him, and who choose to trust him no matter what comes our way, no matter what. The blessings may not always look like ease, may not be comfort, but they will look like peace. You will have that joy because you're abiding in him, because you know that there's fullness of joy in him when you're in his presence. There is fullness of joy. You want joy? You feel like you're lacking it? Then get to being with him. Sit at his feet. We need to sit at his feet. We need to be with him. And strength that this world cannot offer, this world cannot give us. We're not going to find it in this world. George Mueller once said this: the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So in other words, when we trust God, we can rest. We don't have to carry everything. We don't have to see the whole plan. We like to see the whole plan. I know that. I do. But we don't have to. We just need to trust. We just need to stay near him and surrender. Surrender to what he's telling us. Just surrender. So whether you're longing, walking through a valley, or learning to trust again, he's your sun and your shield. He is your strength. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a shield. Thank you, Father God, that we can rest under your wing. Thank you, Lord, that you do not slumber, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are the lifter of our head. Thank you that you do withhold those things that we can't see that are harmful for us. Lord, help us to be women who trust in you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And today, Lord, I pray, Father, that we would remember that you are the Lord, Lord of hosts. You have authority over everything, Lord, and you are in control of every situation within our lives. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for over these ladies, that your countenance would be upon them, that you would shine your face upon them. Lord, that when they put their head on their pillow tonight, that they would rest in you, Lord. And Father, on you, Lord, because in that you tell us that you will give us that perfect peace that the world gives, but the peace that you give. And so, Lord, thank you for this beautiful church, Lord. Thank you for the ministries that go on here. Thank you for Pastor Randy, Lord, that pours in, pours out unto his congregation. I pray, Lord, for him, Lord, keep him healthy, Lord. And I pray over this church, Father God, that you would continue to use it in such mighty ways. I pray for Vanessa, Lord, as she is overseeing the women's ministry, that you would continue to give her wisdom, Lord, and insight, Father God, and that she would just seek you for what you desire her to do also, Lord. And so we just lift this night up to you, and we thank you, and we praise you. We love you, Lord, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, ladies, I almost fell up here. You know, I know for myself, when I feel myself, it lifts me up. And you know what? All the complaining just disappears. And I believe regardless of what we go through, there's always something that we can praise God for. Always. We get in trouble when we forget that we're just passing through. We're just passing through, ladies. But we start to put our tents up. And when we put our tents up and start making this our home, that's where the trouble comes. So let's turn those complainings into praise. Okay? Thank you, Bettina. God bless you, all righty.